I think this is one of those Sundays when preachers like to go on vacation, because this story of Isaac is kind of like the story we had last week. It's a difficult one for us to encounter. And I think for many of us, if God sort of appeared and asked us to sacrifice our own child, we would probably not gather up some firewood and go out into the desert to figure out how to do it. Right? Then I think probably some of us would even say, if that is what God wants, you know, I don't want anything to do with God. And so I think we really struggle to kind of understand what this story might be about. And the truth is, it seems fairly straightforward. I mean, the text itself gives us some clues that it's some kind of test that Abraham is being given to determine his faithfulness. And yet, lots of people have come up with other sort of interpretations of what exactly this story might mean. I mean, there are people who say that, no, actually, this story is a metaphor to teach people that child sacrifice, which they say was quite common in those days, is something you shouldn't do. Fair enough. There are other people who say, actually, it wasn't God who told Abraham to do this at all, but it was sort of the deceiver who pretended to be God to get Abraham to do it. And then, of course, the angel calls out from heaven to stay his hand. In the Islamic tradition, they actually have this exact same story, except that instead of Isaac, it's Ishmael. And in that story, Ishmael goes willingly. He says, absolutely, Father, you should sacrifice me. And so there are lots of ways we have come to sort of try to interpret and understand this story. And I don't know that any of them are ultimately very satisfying for us today. But whatever sort of interpretation we come up with, I think the truth is that one of the things that certainly communicates is that when we try to discern and follow God's will, it often takes us to difficult places, it entails difficult choices, and it expects a lot from us. In Rite 1, which is the traditional Eucharistic prayer of the Anglican tradition, there's a bit that says, "And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice." A holy, reasonable, and living sacrifice. And I think one of the problems for us as followers of Christ is that when we look at this story of Abraham, we don't see a lot of Christ in it. Right? Because the coming of Christ changes everything. And these inherited stories that we've received, they take on a new light, a new perspective than what those who wrote them or those who first heard them originally thought and saw. And I think when we struggle with these Old Testament stories, it's because of that lack of seeing Christ in it. But yet, as the line in the Eucharistic prayer tells us, that there is still a kernel of truth, that when we are to give ourselves to God, we are asked to give our whole selves. Right? In Paul's letter there, he talks about present your members. He's talking about all the bits of your body, not the parts you're thinking about, but the whole parts. And he says, you know, you have to present your whole self, all the members of your body, to God. And so when we think about our life of faith and we think about how do we follow and discern God's will, we have to kind of put our all into it. We have to give ourselves over wholly. At least that's what we're asked to do. And the thing about this living sacrifice that we're asked to make is it's qualified. It says that it's reasonable, which says that it's possible for us to do, which should be a word of great hope and consolation. Because I don't know if you are like me, but I find myself falling short quite often, in fact, that I am never the dedicated servant of Christ that I would hope and desire to be all the time. Right, and that we all fall short in ways of living into this promises we have made in baptism about how we are to live our lives. And yet what Jesus tells us is that what he asks of us is reasonable, that it can be done. But it also, of course, recognizes that we've talked about the last couple weeks that we do fall short and we have sort of a sacrament to get us back on track through confession and repentance. Right, so it's a reasonable request that Jesus asks of us. It's a holy thing to give ourselves over to God. And when we present ourselves like Jesus says, in the name of him who we follow, Christ, we also present ourselves as one who follows the creator of all, what Jesus calls the Father, the source of the Godhead. And so what we're asked to do is possible for us to do. And when we do it, we shine, the glory of God shines forth through us, right? That we become living examples of God's love and grace and mercy in the world when we seek to do God's will. And God's work of redemption and salvation of the world flows forth through us. It's not something happening to us, but something we are participating in, and something that when we do, others can hopefully see it and become attracted to it. I think the best way, we talk about church growth a lot, but truthfully, the honest answer is, if you really want your church to grow, go out in the world and be Christians. And it's a very compelling thing to see and witness and experience. And people will respond, and they'll want to know, and they'll follow you. So what we're asked to do is reasonable. What we're asked to do is holy. And most importantly, what we're asked to do is sacrificial. Right? Jesus, or rather God, asks Abraham in this story to sacrifice all of his hopes and dreams. Right? Remember the story that Abraham's been waiting for a century to have this son. He's finally arrived, and he's grown up a little bit here. And yet God asked him to give of that. And Abraham does it. At least he's willing to do it. And I don't think any of us should or will be asked to sacrifice something like our children. We are asked to sacrifice ourselves. But not in the sacrifice like Abraham would do. A living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Right? And the character of sacrifice is we have to give up something dear to us, something important. Because if it's sort of a meaningless thing that we give, it's not really a sacrifice. A sacrifice is meant to be noticed and felt. And so if our encounter with the divine, if our engagement with the life of faith, if our religiousness doesn't somehow transform and change us, if it doesn't ask us to give up some desire or want that we might have, then I think we have to question whether or not we are truly engaged with that faith, right? Because if faith leaves us unchanged, well, what's the point of that? So Jesus asks of us to give ourselves wholly to God's will, to hear God's word in our lives, and to work to fulfill that in what we do. And sometimes the things we are asked to do are going to be very difficult, and the things we are asked to sacrifice will be very hard to give up. And sometimes it will take us to places we really don't want to go. But we are then called to remember that this thing, that this faith that we have claimed, and this baptism in which we have died to our old selves and risen anew in Christ, is both reasonable and holy. And so when we are able to give ourselves over in this way, and when we are willing to trust God implicitly in the way that Abraham does, what Jesus tells us is that God is present in us and through us to the world. Amen.